Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhaktivedanta ki, Granthara Shima Bhagavatam ki, Hiriraj Maharaj ki, Goprem Anandi. Okay, so tonight we will begin chapter 43. We'll go from verses 1 to 20. What is chapter 43 called? Chapter 43 is? Krishna kills the elephant. Kuvalayati.
This chapter
will complete in two classes.
At the end of chapter 46, which is not far away. Get there by the beginning of October, then we'll have the exam.
So we're going to move a little quickly. We'll probably be covering each chapter in about two classes, just so that we can keep up with the schedule. I actually wanted this year, I wanted to get to the end of chapter 48, but it's not going to happen. At least chapter 46 will be quick. It just means we have to be a little bit quick. Okay. Shukadev Goswami said, O chastiser of enemies, Krishna and Balaram, having executed all necessary purification, then heard the kettle drums resounding at the wrestling arena, and they went there to see what was happening.
Even after we have made our power known by breaking the law and by performing other things, our parents have still not secured the world. Sometimes a time is trying to see them. Therefore, all of you have a common answer. It must be wrong for us to see them. They are sure they are often threatened.
So, any points here?
They are so demoniac, he has to be killed under all circumstances. That is the purpose of Krishna, one of the purposes.
Anything else?
Krishna, the only person that can still see that you do that and you
do it? No. It means any of Krishna's incarnations. If they're a demon, then it's not the wrong thing to kill them. So. The death penalty is there. Like if someone kills someone, if someone murders someone, then the penalty is death. So what you should do, although we're not allowed to do it in this day and age, but if someone kills like a family member, then you kill them on the spot. There's no reaction for that. Any other points? So when the pastime comes, we'll look at that more closely. Anything else? Yeah, that's what we do now, because we're not allowed to kill people, so we have to. Yeah, we all know that. to the Jamuna. Any other points? Okay. So, Krishna is teaching us we have to be very careful about committing pap. Pap means sinful activity. You have to be very careful about committing sinful activity. As we understand, Krishna has no reason to fear committing sinful activity, because Krishna is pavitra. He is without blemish, without fault. Krishna cannot be contaminated in any way. But still, to set an example for us, he shows us we should be very careful about committing sinful activity. So he was considering whether or not Kamsa should be killed. Of course Kamsa should be killed, because Kamsa is an atrocious leader. Kamsa is committing many demoniac activities. He is imprisoning his own father and causing fear in his own family members and his own citizens. So therefore he is sinful. But Krishna still, he is looking, should I kill him or not? And Krishna's conclusion is yes, he should be killed. But we should be very careful. Krishna is showing us the general teaching. We should not be whimsical as devotees. We should be very careful about how we act and behave. Devotees have to be careful about committing sinful activities. So when it means taking the life of another, actually I saw one quote yesterday from Prabhupada, because sometimes we say to people, you should be vegetarian. But Prabhupada said, don't say like that, be vegetarian. Prabhupada said, we're only interested in teaching people to offer their food to Krishna, to only take prasadam. And Prabhupada actually said in this quote, Prabhupada said, whether one is a vegetarian or a meat eater, they're equally as sinful. Prabhupada said that. Of course, a meat eater is more sinful than a vegetarian. We know that, but Prabhupada is making the point that they're equally as sinful. Because unless you offer your food to Krishna, the bhoga, then there is sinful reaction. So therefore, a devotee has to be very careful about committing sin. Sava Kilvishai. Krishna explains this in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Every act is covered by some sin. So therefore you have to be very careful, especially when it comes to offering. Bhoga. Now, if you take some bhoga, eat something, not offer to Krishna, then you're committing sin. You have to be very careful. So Krishna is teaching us this general principle. You have to know the charity street. So he's showing us the example. Be very careful. Think very carefully about your activities. Don't be whimsical. Because there can be sin. Even for devotees, there can be sinful activities.
Like, we need to make a fear that if people want to start opening, they could. We could encourage them that it could be vegetarian.
Yeah, I mean, we preach to people to be vegetarian. I do it myself, I preach. But Prabhupada makes these points so that the movement stays on track. Because sometimes our movement becomes watered down. Prabhupada doesn't want that to happen, so therefore he was making very clear points. But yeah, some people we have to encourage them just be vegetarian because they can't even understand anything.
If one person
heard in the murder group.
So it means that
you can't eat it. Mm. Only if I eat meat. And onion and garlic. When Lord Krishna reached the entrance to the arena, he saw the elephant Kuvalayapida blocking his way at the urging of his keeper.
Read out bottom, you read that first one.
The elephant people revealed his initial intent by blocking the prisoner's entrance into the arena.
Any points there? Anything else?
Yes. Actually, Krishna has been invited by Kansa. That's why he's saying, okay, so if he's somebody invited, how can you draw this passage?
Any other points? Very cool. So this elephant is not an ordinary elephant. We have to understand these points because we've heard this pastime many times already. So one might think, well, Krishna killed an elephant. That's not so extraordinary. But this elephant was not like an ordinary elephant. Now, this elephant was the king of all elephants. He was the most powerful elephant. This elephant was previously, he was owned by Jarasandha. So Jarasandha, and we'll see, Jarasandha will appear again soon. Not too far away from this. And then Jarasandha appears. He attacks Mathura after Kamsa is killed. So Jarasandha was traveling around. And while he was traveling around, he was conquering different kingdoms. And then he came to Mathura. And the person in charge of Mathura was Kamsa. So Jarasandha is extremely powerful. Later in the 10th canto, who kills Jarasandha? Bhima Sen kills Jarasandha because he's extremely powerful, not like any ordinary person. And Kamsa is also like that, extremely powerful. So Jarasandha, he had captured this elephant, Kuvalayapid. And it states that it took 10,000 elephants to capture this one elephant. They had to use 10,000 elephants to surround this elephant to capture him. He was so powerful. So he brought this elephant under control. So then he arrived at Mathura and he wanted to conquer the Mathura city. So he sent a message in to the king, Tecumseh. He said, you should surrender to me. And Kamsa sent a message back. And he said, you should surrender to me. So Jarasandha said, okay, then let's see. So he got the elephant and he sent the elephant into Mathura to cause problem, to smash the gate of the entrance of Mathura, to go into Mathura to smash the city apart. So the elephant went into Mathura. And when Kamsa heard the noise and everyone was crying and screaming because the elephant was beginning to smash things, Kamsa himself came out. And this elephant is so powerful, like 10,000 elephants. So Kamsa picked the elephant up, he grabbed him, picked him up, and he threw him over the wall. And the elephant landed back in the army of Jarasandha. And when Jarasandha saw that the elephant came back out, then he thought, okay, I'll make a deal with Kamsa. He's very powerful. He's as powerful as me. So then he said, "What? Let's not fight. Because your army will get destroyed, my army will get destroyed. So what I'll do, I'll give you my daughters in charity. And then we can become family members. And that way we form an alliance. We become very powerful." And Kamsa agreed. So Jarasandha gave two daughters to Kamsa. So the elephant wasn't any ordinary elephant. You have to understand this. When it, you know, we hear this pastime all the time. You know, we hear Krishna kill Keshi, Arista, Vyoma, Kamsa, people. These are not like ordinary demons, or we can't even imagine how powerful these personalities are.
So when Krishna destroys this demon, Kuvalayapi, this elephant, this is an extraordinary feat. This elephant is well known for how powerful he is. Any points? Okay. Securely binding up his clothes and tying back his curly locks, Lord Krishna addressed the elephant keeper with words as grave as the rumbling of a cloud. So what's taking place here?
Acting.
Krishna is very serious as well, not just acting. What's happening? Yeah, because what rasa is Krishna displaying here? Chivalry. Yeah, what does that call in Sanskrit? Vira ras. Yeah, vira ras. So Krishna is the ultimate warrior. He's the greatest of all fighters. When he prepares for battle, he prepares himself first. We saw this also when he fought with Kaliya. He prepared himself for the battle. When Krishna fights, he looks very beautiful. He adjusted his turban, tied everything, his belt and everything very nicely. And then to tie his hair back, because he thought, okay, my hair may get in the way during the battle. They took some top cloth, tied his hair, so it would stay in while he began to fight. Adjusted everything very nicely, threw his garlands over his shoulders, and then he went to battle. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Whenever he fights, he does everything the most gracefully, the most beautifully. He's the most powerful, but he also does everything with the most, we say, finesse. Finesse means attention to detail. Not only is he powerful, he's also extremely beautiful, extremely attractive. So whenever he does anything, he does it to the highest degree. That's why he is Rasa Raj. Any point?
At the same time, the Krishna is not simply looking at his picture. He's very positive.
Lord Krishna said, "Or driver, driver, move aside at once and let us pass. If you don't, this very day I will send both you and your elephant to the abode of Yamaraj." So if you take the Sanskrit another way, Yama Sadhanam, to the abode of death. But Yama, the word, you know, when we talk about the Ashtanga Yoga process. So what are the first two angas in the Ashtanga Yoga process? Yama and Yama. So Yama also means like rules or regulations. And sadhanam, to the abode. This word is also very similar to satana. So in other words, Krishna is indicating that if you want to attain him, there has to be control of the mind. The problem with the elephant, the problem with the elephant keeper, they do not have control of the mind. They are not surrendering to Krishna. If you want to attain Krishna, Krishna is teaching us here. He's importing to us, or he is advising us. You must learn to control your mind if you want to attain him. This is the first teaching of Rupa Goswami in the Upadesamrita. You have to control your mind. If you can't control your mind, then you cannot attain Krishna. Also anger, speech, tongue, belly, and genitals. If you cannot control these, you cannot attain Krishna. So Krishna is telling us, if you want to attain him, first of all, you must master the preliminary stages. Yama niyama. Niyama means you have to give certain things up. If you are not willing to give up certain things to attain Krishna, you cannot attain them. And if you are not willing to accept certain things which you may not like to accept, you can also not attain them. That is how spiritual life begins. First, we must give up certain things. We must accept certain things. Then you can attain Krishna. So Krishna is directly saying, indirectly he's saying, you must control your mind by sadhana. Sadhana means by proper practice. Krishna instructs Arjuna like this in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, very difficult to control the mind, Krishna. And what does Krishna say? Abhyas. And? Vairagya. You must have these two qualities to control your mind. Abhyas means? Practice. You have to practice controlling your mind. Not easy to control the mind. You have to practice. And? Vairagya. You have to become detached. These are the two ways to control the mind. Constant practice. Because the mind will always tell you to do the opposite of what you want it to do. They serve Krishna, and their mind will say, oh, there's so many excuses why I cannot serve Krishna. You say, I want to surrender to Krishna, and the mind will say, no, there's so many reasons why we cannot surrender to Krishna. We'll surrender to Krishna later, not now. It's just the mind. You can surrender to Krishna right now, but your mind will say, no, I have to wait. And then Vairagya. Vairagya means you have to become detached from the mind. Otherwise, the mind will control you, and you'll never attain Krishna. He's saying, if you don't move, I'll send you to the abode of Yamaraj. Yeah? So Krishna is speaking very forcefully to this. Krishna is a little bit angry now. He's getting a little bit angry. Because there's someone who he wants to kill very dearly. Really, and you'll see when he kills Kamsa, he really kills him. He's very angry at Kamsa. Very angry at Kamsa. So, he's becoming a little bit angry. But a warrior has to be angry. A kshatriya has to be angry. Anger is part of the dharma of the kshatriya. If the kshatriya doesn't become angry when it is necessary, then he's not a kshatriya. So when it is time to show anger, he must show anger. That is his dharma. Any points? At the end. Yama sadhana. Any other points? Yeah. Okay. Thus threatened, the elephant keeper became angry. He goaded his furious elephant, who appeared equal to time, death, and Yamaraj, into attacking Lord Krishna. So, if one surrenders to Krishna, he has no fear. Prabhupada explains this very nice lectures by Prabhupada, where he says, a devotee has no fear. Prabhupada's name was No Fear, Abhaya. That's literally what it means. No Fear, Abhaya. That was Prabhupada's name. Because one who has surrendered to Krishna has no fear. One who is not surrendered to Krishna, you will always be fearful. So in this verse it says, you'll be fearful of three things. What are the three things? Time, death, and Yamaraj himself. But for a devotee is not afraid of death. A devotee is not controlled by time. And a devotee is not fearful of Yamaraj. Hands up if you're scared of Yamaraj.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, one person. Scared of Yamaraj. The devotee is not scared of Yamaraj. Because we understand, we won't see Yamaraj. We'll only see him in his devotional form. He may help us go back to Krishna, but he will not chastise us. The devotee gives up that fear, because when you surrender to Krishna, you have no fear of these things. So that's what it means. Because Krishna is the master of time, kalosmi, he says, I am time. He's the master of death, and he's the master of Yamaraj. It says in the Bhagavatam earlier on, Krishna is feared by fear personified. So fear personified is scared of Krishna. So we have no reason to be fearful. Because if we take shelter of Krishna, fear, death, all these things, they emanate from him. Only when you're a non-devotee you'll be fearful. So Kuvalai appeared, the elephant keeper, and Kamsa himself are scared, right? Because they don't surrender to Krishna. Any points? Well, if you're not scared of death, then you know you're fully surrendered.
I'm not sure who that is.
Any other point? Yeah, he's making him feel there is no fear. Because he's in a difficult situation, in one sense. Thank you. Very good. Any other points? The Lord of the Elephants charged Krishna and violently seized him with his trunk. But Krishna slipped away, struck him a blow, and disappeared from his view among his legs. So now the fight begins.
Bring Krishna into the light.
So, Krishna, first of all, he stands there right in front of the elephant. So, have you ever seen an angry elephant in real life? Anyone saw?
In real life, you saw? Very scary.
Yeah, very scary. A mad elephant is very scary. These days, you can just look on YouTube. Just type in mad elephant or something like that, and you'll see what they do. Sometimes they go crazy. Yeah. I saw one on YouTube, went to the South India, they're having a parade, and the elephant went a bit crazy. They went over, he picked up the temple, you know, like the motor rickshaw. With his trunk, he picked him up, and he's lifting it up, just going, smashing it, and then he threw it at a car, picked up the temple, and he just threw it like that. Hit the car. And he went over and he got the car and he tipped the car over. Just hit the car and boom. And then he just walked down the road just smashing this, smashing that.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
So,
on YouTube. Not in real life. I've seen elephants, but I never saw them go mad. But Krishna was just standing in front of him. You imagine if the big elephant, right, is mad and he runs at you, what will you do? Right? Yeah, you'll run the other way. Krishna just stood there. Right? He said, you come. So he came, he picked it, and then he was there and he was too angry. And he grabbed Krishna with his trunk and lifted Krishna up off the ground. And Krishna just let him do that. Because Krishna wants to enjoy the fight. He doesn't want to just smash him to pieces. He wants to have some fun. He let him pick him up, and the elephant was shaking Krishna, right? Like that. Pulling it like this. Very angry. So then Krishna, he was letting him do it just so he's feeling some confidence. You know, when you're fighting with someone, if you're really powerful, you let them think, oh, they're winning a little bit. So then Sringadeva did this with Hiranyakashipu. Same thing. You know, just let them have some false sense of confidence. Increases the rasa. And Krishna's enjoying the rasa. So then, when Krishna had enough, he's shaking around, he's in the trunk, then he slapped his trunk with his left hand. Left hand is the weaker hand. So he smashed his trunk. I mean, Kublai Pete had to let go. It was so painful, he let go of then Krishna. So when Krishna hit the ground, right, then Krishna ran under his legs. He was underneath him. And then Kublai Pete, he couldn't find Krishna. So he's trying to move backwards, and he's moving his legs. And with his trunk, he put his trunk underneath to smell where is Krishna. So where is he? And every time he smelled where he is, then he tried to stand on him. So Krishna was like dancing. He was moving. Wherever he's moving his legs, he was moving around. Right? And then Krishna, with his fist, he was underneath, he went and smashed him in the stomach. Right? And so much pain for Kublai Pete. So he was just playing with him, having some fun. And then he ran out from the front again, and he stood there, and he said to Kublai Pete, come and get me. So Kublai Pete was coming, and every time he came to grab him, Krishna would just step back one more step. Right? He'd try to grab him, and he'd step back again, step back again. He was moving to the left, moving to the right. He was having some fun. So Balaram was watching it, the battle. So Balaram went around the back of Kublai Pete and grabbed his tail and started dragging him, right, back down the road. Balaram was walking backwards, and he was pulling Kublai Pete, and Kublai Pete was very angry, right, so he was looking back, right? So then Krishna grabbed his trunk, and Balaram was pulling him from the back, and then Krishna started pulling him from the front. So he was going mad, like that, at the front, at the back, like that. He's trying to find these two. So then Krishna let go, and then Balaram let go. So they're just playing with him. I mean, the elephant was going crazy because he was thinking, how am I going to kill these boys? But he did not realize he could not kill them. Krishna turned to Bhagwan. He's very powerful, this Krishna. I told you so many times, don't you bring when I'm giving the class? It does this pranam thing like that. Indian people. He's my good friend. Prasen. Infuriated at being unable to see Lord Keshava, the elephant sought him out with his sense of smell. Once again, Kublai Pete seized the Lord with the end of his trunk, only to have the Lord forcefully free himself.
So, Chandan, not Krishna allowed that to be
so Krishna is showing superior potency. You cannot compete with Krishna, that's the point. It's better to be on Krishna's side. Whenever you try to defy Krishna, you'll always get into trouble in your life. You'll see in your life, when you defy Krishna, when you don't follow the rules, you'll get into trouble. It happens again and again. So Krishna, he wants us to cooperate with him, right, and to be on his side, join his army. If you go on the other side, you will always have problems. So Kublai Pete is doing that. He won't accept Krishna's superior potency. Very foolish. So he's trying to battle with Krishna, and look, he's getting into so many problems, and he's just about to give up his body. Any points? Lord Krishna then grabbed powerful Kublai Pid by the tail and playfully dragged him 25 bow lengths as easily as Garuda might drag a snake. So now Krishna goes around the back, grabs him by the tail and pulls him down the road. So the elephant would be in so much pain, being pulled by his tail, and he's fighting ferociously, trying to battle with it. No, this is a normal bow. Yeah, like a normal bow. A normal bow is 5 feet long. As Lord Achyutya held on to the elephant's tail, the animal tried to twist away to the left and to the right, making the Lord swerve in the opposite direction, as a young boy would swerve when pulling a calf by the tail. Krishna then came face to face with the elephant and slapped him and ran away. Kublai Pid pursued the Lord, managing to touch him again and again with each step. But Krishna outmaneuvered the elephant and made him trip and fall. As Krishna dodged about, he playfully fell on the ground and quickly got up again. The raging elephant, thinking Krishna was down, tried to gore him with his tusks, but struck the earth instead. So Krishna was walking backwards, and the elephant kept trying to get him, and then Krishna fell on the ground on his back. He was just acting, he was just playing. And then the elephant thought, now I have him. So with his tusks, he smashed into the ground. The tusks went either side of Krishna, like that. And because Mathura is made of stone, all the roads are made of stone, so he smashed his tusks into the stone, just put himself in a great pain. And then Krishna slipped out again, and then this would make a very good movie. No, he has a demoniac spirit. Some animals have demoniac spirit also. They're like horses. Some horses are just very unpleasant. Animals can also, dogs as well. Some dogs are just demoniac. You don't like the class, Brenda? You don't like the class? Yeah, it means infallible. Yeah, they're all delivered. Mm-hmm. Everyone is delivered. Anyone who's killed by Krishna is delivered. Yeah. Kamsa gets delivered. He's the biggest demon, but he gets delivered. He goes even higher than the Brahma Jyoti. Everyone gets delivered. Everyone gets delivered. Yeah, Kublai Pid is giving Krishna pleasure, so therefore. His prowess foiled, the lordly elephant Kublai Pid went into a frenzied rage out of frustration. But the elephant keepers goaded him on, and he furiously charged Krishna once again. The Supreme Lord, killer of the demon Matu, confronted the elephant as he attacked. Seizing his trunk with one hand, Krishna threw him to the ground. So he grabs him with his left hand, grabs him by the trunk, and then picks him up and then smashes him into the ground by the trunk. That's our power. Can you imagine? You lift an elephant by your left hand, just by the trunk, and you just pick him up and then throw him around. That's how powerful Krishna is. Lord Hari then climbed onto the elephant with the ease of a mighty lion, pulled out a tusk, and with it killed the beast and his keepers. Krishna's like this. He's very definite when he's dealing with demoniac personality. So also with us, if we act like non-devotee, Krishna comes in very, very direct. He pulls out the tusk and snaps it, throws it into the side of the elephant. Very powerful.
How are they getting your board? So play the rule.
Yeah, you may have been. And hang out with elephant keepers. Anything else? Leaving the dead elephant aside, Lord Krishna held onto the tusk and entered the wrestling arena. With the tusk resting on his shoulder, drops of the elephant's blood and sweat sprinkled all over him, and his lotus face covered with fine drops of his own perspiration, the Lord shone with great beauty. So it actually mentions when Krishna enters the arena, right? Because he kills the elephant. He's like the main gate. You like the MCG? You been to MCG? MCG? Yeah. The big cricket ground? So maybe you've been there. Or any big stadium. So it's like that. This arena's like that. It's like a big stadium, like MCG size. So it's like the main gate. The Krishna kills the elephant and grabs the tusk, puts on the shoulder, him and Balaram, and they walk into the arena. Right? So there's hundreds of thousands of people watching. So if you're going to walk into an arena, you have to be very impressive. So Krishna walks in, it says that he actually dances as he walks in. Right? He like walks in a dancing kind of a gait. Like, you know, walks in like tusk of the elephant. Yeah, he's got it on his shoulder and he walks in, you know, and sees everyone. And then everyone sees him, just seeing him, he's so impressive, everyone begins to roar. You know, like when the MCG, like if the famous football player or so, a cricket player, like Sachin Tendulkar. So he walks out, everyone, wow, I like that. So Krishna walks in, everyone erupts, you know, in ecstasy. And he's holding the trunk and he's so happy to be there. So impressive. Balaram's with him. Balaram's holding the other tusk. Walking. Oh God! How many tusks does an elephant have? Did you go to school? My God! One tusk. My dear King, Lord Baladev and Lord Janardana, each carrying one of the elephant's tusks. As his chosen weapon entered the arena with several cowherd boys. So these are cowherd boys. Right? This is Mathura. Mathura is a city. People behave differently in the city to the country. In the village, they behave differently too. Now you go to Mumbai, people behave differently. But then you go out to the rural area, to the village, people are different. These are village boys. So the cowherd boys are walking in, and they're also like Krishna and Balaram. You know, they're just looking around at everything. They're laughing, they're joking, they're pushing each other. You know, look at this place. So everyone's just having like a... There's Hashira. What is Hashiras? Laughing, yeah. The laughter. Sakiras and Hashiras together, the cowherd boys. They're laughing and joking and playing with Krishna and Balaram. And you'll see in the next chapter, later in this chapter, the cowherd boys also. They get really absorbed in this whole wrestling match. Okay. So now this is an important verse, important section. So there are 12 rasas. We mentioned this last month. In relation to Krishna. So what are the 12 rasas? 5 primary, 7 secondary. It's mentioned nectar devotion. But right now, as Krishna enters, 10 of the rasas manifest simultaneously. 10 of the 12. A very powerful pastime. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, the men of Mathura as the best of males, the women as Cupid in person, the cowherd men as their relative, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their relative, the impious rulers. Oh, sorry.
Shame.
His parents as their child, the king of the Bhojas as death, the unintelligent as the supreme lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as their supreme worshipable deity. I don't know if we'll read the first paragraph.
Sri Akila Swami quotes the following verse with the 10 attitudes towards Krishna described here. There are 10 different moods. Fury, perceived by the wrestler. Wonder by the man. Conjugal attraction, the women. Laughter, the coward. Chivalry, the king. Mercy, the parents. Terror, concern. Nastiness, the unintelligent, peaceful, the charity. The yogi, and loving devotion to Krishna.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good.
Sri Krishna Chakravarti points out that people like the wrestlers, Kansa and the impious rulers perceive Krishna as dangerous, angry or threatening because they fail to understand the actual position of the personality point. Actually, Lord Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher. But because we rebel against him, he chastises us and thus we may perceive him as threatening. Krishna or God is actually merciful. And when he punishes us, he also is my.
Thank you. Any points? No, Rasa. Must have a favorable attitude towards Krishna. Any other points?
Krishna is actually merciful. But when he punishes us, that's also his mercy.
So, you know, we see the different rasas which are exhibited. 10 different rasas. And Krishna is simultaneously, it's like a festival. He's so powerful that he brings so many emotions out in so many different people's simultaneously. So Prabhupada sometimes says he is the cynosure
of the eyes. It means he's like the ultimate object of vision. And just by seeing him, everyone becomes absorbed in different types of mellows and ecstasy and rasa. So it is said here that Kamsa and the impious rulers perceive Krishna as dangerous, angry, and threatening. So technically, this is called rasa bas. What does rasa bas mean? Yeah, like shadow rasa, or it means actually conflicting rasa, or rasa. Yeah, incompatible. Very good. Incompatible rasa. Rasa which is not proper, which is incompatible. So Krishna is the form of all sweetness. The Kamsa sees him as dangerous. That's rasa bas. Because his vision is incorrect. So if our consciousness is not incorrect, we will see Krishna improperly. Very difficult to see Krishna properly. You have to have a heart which is purified by devotion. Then you will see Krishna. We don't see Krishna as dangerous. We see him as the protector. It comes through seeing him as death personified. So his consciousness is wrong. So Bhagavatam is teaching us how we should see Krishna, how we should not see Krishna. Anukul and Pratikul. Anukul means you must see him favorably. Pratikul means if you see him unfavorably, then you will not understand him. He is sweetness personified, but comes that cannot understand. This is the sweetest person. And it actually says the Gyanis, or the, how do you say it, like the Brahmanas, who are in the arena, they're like Kamsa's priests, but they're materialistic priests. And Brahmanas, sometimes they become puffed up. Puffed up means proud of their position. Yeah, false pride. They're falsely proud of their position. So then they see Krishna in an impure way. As soon as he walks in, sometimes when we think we're better than someone else, then we pass judgment on them. Oh, this person is untouchable. So the Brahmanas, when they saw Krishna, they thought, oh, he is untouchable. We've heard rumors about him. He dances with other people's wives. Untouchable person. We've heard that he killed a bull. Untouchable person. We see now he's walking in. He has blood on him. Very low class. They're actually seeing Krishna like that. Actually, it's mentioned they're worse than Kamsa. These demoniac priests of Kamsa. Even worse than Kamsa. Because they see Krishna in a very contaminated way. But if someone sees Krishna like that, that is practical, that is unfavorable, they have no hope of liberation. Unless you are anukul, you cannot be liberated back to this religion. You must have anukul yin, a positive attitude towards Krishna. Any points? Okay. We'll read the next paragraph. Jagannath Rath. Next paragraph. We read that one. The next one. Okay, finish them.
Altogether, there are 12 others. The system of this option for this is other words, our love and affection are actually meant for him. Unfortunately, out of ignorance, he stubbornly tried to prove happiness and love out of material relations, which are not directly connected to Krishna, and thus life becomes a constant frustration. The solution is simple: surrender to Krishna, love Krishna, love Krishna's devotee, and be happy forever.
Mm. Any points here? Why is that?
They're not connected to Krishna and seeking try to get happiness, not going to be going to. Not going
to. Anything else?
They're not finding the way. The solution is simple. Surrender to Krishna, let Krishna, let Krishna to the completely like.
No, we have. Can we feel like that? You mean?
We already
at the moment, we're on the platform of dasya. Dasya means servitorship. So you concentrate on serving Krishna. And then internally, in your consciousness, like a the other sentiments may develop over time. If you're practicing devotional service nicely, then you develop attraction to the other sentiments. Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya. That will happen internally. That, but other people won't see that. But externally, you just engage in service to Krishna. And then internally, the others can be cultivated.
What about the other seven ones?
They're secondary, so. Yeah, when you become more advanced, yeah. Anything else? Yeah, you can say what. So, it says here, Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur says, this is the definition of rasa. A very beautiful definition, which is given here, which is quoted. Something which is beyond imagination. You're so happy, it is beyond imagination. This is actual rasa. It is heavy with wonder. Deeply, deeply, deeply amazed with Krishna. You're beyond comprehension, the experience. And it is relished in the heart shining with goodness, Shuddha Sattva. To actually experience rasa with Krishna, you have to be in Shuddha Sattva. You have to be in pure goodness to actually understand rasa properly. And it actual rasa gives one anandi. Anandi means unlimited bliss, spiritual bliss. So that is actual rasa. So when we serve Krishna, we will experience this. Rasa will gradually develop. If you don't serve Krishna, you will just go to frustration. These are your two alternatives. Serve Krishna and cultivate rasa and pleasure, or do not serve Krishna and experience frustration. That's the only two alternatives. The material world will frustrate us. Okay. When Kamsa saw that Kuvalaya Pid was dead and the two brothers were invincible, he was overwhelmed with anxiety, O king. Arrayed with variegated ornaments, garlands, and garments, just like a pair of excellently costumed actors, the two mighty armed lords shone splendidly in the arena. Indeed, they overpowered the minds of all onlookers with their effulgence. The Krishna is so attractive, he is overpowering. What does it mean when you become overpowered? Just by sometimes you see someone who is so beautiful, even in this world, you'll see a girl or you'll see a man, and they're so beautiful, you momentarily, you become stunned. Sometimes we see. So you become overpowered. The Krishna is like that. He's so attractive, he just overpowers the entire arena simultaneously. Except for those who are envious of him. They cannot experience that. But everyone else, they just become overwhelmed by his beauty, his qualities, his demeanor, everything about him. And the final verse for tonight. O King, as the citizens of the city and the people from outlying districts gazed upon those two supreme personalities from their seats in the galleries, the force of the people's happiness caused their eyes to open wide and their faces to blossom. They drank in the vision of the Lord's faces without becoming satiated. So Prabhupada says this is the barometer of bhakti. When you go and see the deity, it's just like after class we're going to see Radha Balabhan, join your Balabhan. So when you see them, Prabhupada says, if they are smiling, then this means they are satisfied with you. So when the deities are smiling at us, we become overwhelmed. We become completely satiated, completely satisfied. So that's what it's like for the resonance in Mathura. When they see Krishna, they become completely satisfied, right? Because he is the source of all happiness. Krishna Bhagavan. Any more points? Yeah. Yeah, each rasa contains all the rasas prior to it. So Madhurya contains all the rasas, Vatsalya contains all the ones before it, Sakya contains all the ones before it. Prabhupada ki.